And welcome to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strausser. It is Thursday, November 7th, and we have a great show lined up for you today. We're in the middle also of our membership drive here at KTOO, so we'll talk a little bit about that as we go. We have a great show lined up, as I said. We'll talk to Beth Weigel and Olga Liho about the upcoming library events. Joy Lyon and Elsa will also be here to talk to us about Imagination Library events. We'll hear an audio postcard featuring First Lady Sandy Parnell. We'll also talk about this Saturday's Sons of Norway Holiday Bazaar, and Nancy DeCherney will be here to talk to us about Arts Up, as she does every Thursday. Writer's Almanac and more. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Dartmouth hosted the Indigenous Peoples Climate Change Working Group this week. The event brought together people from across the country. Rhonda Lavaldo has more.
Aloha iye! Aloha iye!
Hawaiian guests announced their arrival to the conference on climate change by singing to a member of the Eastern Abenaki as she welcomed them to her tribal lands. So began the Indigenous Peoples Climate Change Working Group discussion on how to strategize and combat climate change. Keynote speaker Chief Oren Lyons, faith keeper for the Haudenosaunee Iroquois Confederacy, talked about the enthusiasm among the participants.
Well, I think it's as much of a re-energizing of our own energies, refocusing, and inspiring us to work harder.
Working group participant Kalani Souza, a Hawaiian native, talked about how climate change has affected his homelands.
I stick my face in the ocean and the reefs are dead, the near shores are empty, and there's no coconuts on the trees, and you know, it's hard to find the fresh fruit like me when I was a kid.
The Working Group is a tribal college and university-centered network of organizations focusing on climate change research and education since 2006. From Hanover, New Hampshire, I'm Rhonda Lavaldo for National Native News.
Five Indigenous grandmothers recently spoke near New Haven, Connecticut. As Melinda Tuhus reports, a group of grandmothers from around the world formed an alliance in 2004 to help heal the earth and its inhabitants.
The women are members of the International Council of 13 Indigenous Grandmothers. One, Flor de Mayo, originally from Nicaragua, has been a healer since the age of four. She said she had a dream that humans turned into robots because they have lost connection with each other and with other animals and plants. But she added that humans can choose which way they will go, and she prays they will return to their roots.
We're moving in this direction of just this robotic connection without stopping, without seeing.
Agnes Baker Pilgrim is a leader of the Takelma tribe in Oregon. She said she praises water for its life-giving properties.
We need to start thanking the water for our life every day.
The women traveled the world, raising awareness about the destructive impacts of modern life on both the planet and on all its inhabitants. They were honored at their talk with an award from the Fellowship of Reconciliation for their work to achieve freedom from poverty, racism, violence, and materialism. For National Native News, I'm Melinda Tuhus.
Oklahoma's highest court says an Oklahoma tribe is not responsible for the injuries a family suffered in a car crash. But as KGOU's Kurt Gwartney reports, the case could end up in U.S. Supreme Court.
The Oklahoma Supreme Court says a family injured in a 2006 auto accident cannot sue the Peoria tribe or its Buffalo Run casino where the other driver in the crash had been drinking. The lawsuit by Jennifer and Charles Schaefer alleges the casino served David Billups too many alcoholic drinks. Billups was killed, and the Schaefers and their son were injured when a car driven by Billups collided with their tractor trailer. In a 5-4 ruling, the court said the tribe is immune because neither it nor its entities waived their sovereign immunity by applying for and receiving a state liquor license. The Schaefer's attorney says that if another court hearing they want is denied, the next action will be an appeal with the U.S. Supreme Court. An attorney for the tribe has declined comment. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gwartney.
A new Native American Food Sovereignty Alliance has been formed to address food security, hunger, and nutrition in Native communities. The alliance, with more than a dozen members, held its initial meeting last month at the First Nations Lead Institute Conference in Minnesota. Restoring Native food systems in communities is one of the goals. Today, we remember a Native leader who advocated for the advancement of Aboriginal interests in Canada. Jim Sinclair died November 9, 2012, after battling cancer. He was a founding member of the Native Council of Canada and the Métis National Council. He led an effort to have Métis recognized in the country's constitution. He also pursued First Nations and Métis rights internationally by meeting with the British Queen and the Catholic Pope. Sinclair was 79 at the time of his death. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser. Today's Thursday, November 7th, and we are in the middle of our membership drive here at KTOO Studios. And we are also starting off Juno Afternoon with some fabulous guests, people that I like a whole lot. So welcome to the studio, Beth and Olga, and you're here to talk to us about upcoming events at the Juno Libraries.
That's right. So thanks for having us on during this wonderful membership drive week. I'm excited to be here, and of course, I support public radio and am a member, so
right
we'll just
on.
Give that shout out, 586-3636, get that down,
get that done.
And pay attention, because we got a lot going on at the library this month.
Sweet. So what is going on at the library this month?
Well, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's National Novel Writing Month. You're probably getting in a little late in the game if you want to write a novel, but 50,000 words. This is all part of NaNoWriMo is what we call National Novel Writing Month, and we're hosting a couple little events for that. We had our first write in the library the other night, but we have another one coming up later on in the month on the 19th of November at the Valley Library.
So what is a write-in? That means you can actually come there and just write.
Yeah, it's a great atmosphere to be in the library with all the books and the words, and, you know, words are just going to fly off of your fingertips, and your novel will be done by the end of November.
Nice.
And for those of you who might need a little coaching around that, we actually have a fiction writing workshop coming up with Keej Johnson. She's here partly because she's doing a presentation at UAS and partly because she's doing one with us. Of course, her book, At the Mouth of the River of Bees, is one of her well-known works. And she's got a couple other novels, including Fudoki and The Fox Woman, and she's a Hugo and Nebula Award winner for her novella, The Man Who Bridged the Mist. And she's going to give a talk out at UAS because the book At the Mouth of the River of the Bees is the One Book, One Campus choice for them this year, this semester. And she's also going to do a writing workshop at the library, at the Douglas Library, on Saturday, this Saturday, November 9th, from 1 to 4 p.m. So if you want to get your writing skills honed up a little bit by a professional, she'd be... this would be a great thing to do. We still have plenty of space, and it's free.
You know, I met her last night, and she is actually charming and smart and witty and funny, and I got really excited about her workshops.
Yeah, well, there's still some space. So
there you go.
Give Andy a call at 586-0442 or email her at the library, and it's going to be great. It's going to be on this Saturday at the Douglas Library. So we also have some really cool things going on in our OWL system. OWL stands for Online with Librarians. And all the libraries in Alaska have this system, which allows you to kind of join in on webinars. And we have a really cool one happening also on Saturday. So it's a big packed day on Saturday.
Yeah.
And it's going to be called Zim Kids Orphan Trust. It's from my village to yours. It's a short distance between Zimbabwe and Alaska. So we have a gentleman, Tanashi. He's 25. He was born in rural Zimbabwe and in a handmade hut with a thatched roof, no electricity or running water. So some Alaskans out there probably can relate to that, except maybe the thatched roof. But he grew up hauling water and, you know, watching his parents try to basically, you know, scratch out a bit of corn from the dusty fields. And now he lives with one foot kind of in his traditions of his Shona people. Did you know that?
I did.
Yeah?
Yes.
And the other in the modern Western world. So he is actually going to be in Fairbanks, and we're going to connect in with Fairbanks, and he's going to talk a little bit about his Zim Kids Orphan Trust, and he's going to talk about how he's raising money for that and some of the traditions from his village, things like, you know, traditional dance and all that kind of stuff. So it should be a really interesting conversation, and it's really neat because you can see him and you can hear him and you can and interact at the same time. This is how this Online with Libraries works.
So tell me a little bit about the Online with Libraries program, because I've actually never heard of it before.
Right.
Sounds pretty cool.
Well, Online with Libraries is basically funded by the state of Alaska, and it helps all libraries in Alaska have more communications. For instance, here in Juneau, you know, we already had internet access. That was not real on, you know, libraries in the bush. So they have provided internet access to libraries that could not be able to afford it. And a second part of it is they have also provided a lot of technical equipment to the libraries, from laptops to big screens that have also a camera attached, so you can use the screens for presentations. You can use the screens for instance, the presentation that we are doing right now, in which somebody in a different library is giving a presentation, and anybody that is part of the OWL system can go and connect with it and be able to see the presentation, too.
Great. So it's a huge accessibility.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so that's the Zim Kids presentation is From My Village to Yours, and that's on Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Downtown Library. So on from there, Sunday, we move into our family movie, and that's in Douglas every month, and that's at 3 p.m., and it's a fun time to hang out and enjoy a movie with your kids. And we kind of keep it a little bit of a secret what movie we're playing.
Oh, I was just going to ask.
I know, but it's really aligning well with some of the other things that have been going on in town, like the opening of the new Perseverance play.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, uh-huh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It's a Disney movie, and so, you know, it'll be a fun movie to come and enjoy. And you can always, of course, hop on to...
I don't know. You can have your parrot with you.
Yeah, you can bring your parrot, maybe put a patch over your eye. Give us a call if you want to really know the title. But
I don't know if we could drop any more hints.
And in addition to our usual regular monthly family movie that we do in Douglas, Olga's got some really fun, exciting news about a new movie option for us.
Exactly. We're going to have... new movie night. It's not going to be during the day. Every third Tuesday of the month, we are going to be doing movies in Spanish. It's going to be a very popular movie. I can tell you that too. Probably very well known, so that people who are not that good at their Spanish skills can still follow it. It will be dubbed in Spanish with English subtitles. Anybody who has an interest in the Spanish language is welcome to come. It's completely free to. We welcome somebody who's learning. We welcome that person that's been living in Juneau for years but still yearns to listen to his home language, or that second generation kid who has heard Spanish at home all their lives but can't really speak it that well.
Will those be movies for the whole family also?
We are going to be shooting for that. The first one is going to be PG. It's also very popular, and it's very recent, so anybody will be able to follow it. Adults will like them.
Great.
Too. So, and the second one, I think it's going to be a PG too. Again, if you want to know what it is, you can always give the library a call, and we'll be happy to tell you.
Great. Speaking of giving the library a call, if you want to get more information online, or give the library a call. Where can we get more information about all the amazing things that are happening?
Right. Well, you can always check out our website, and that's just the www.juno.org/library. Or you can give us a call. We have obviously a variety of branches that you can call, but the downtown library, 586-5249.
That's right. You can always find the library's multitude of events online, and it's just really helpful to see what's going on because there's so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a couple other things to mention real quick. We have some other presentations happening this month, including Dr. Laura Vest. She's one of the university professors. She's going to do a sociological look at plastic chemicals in food in her talk, Edible Lies. That's going to be Wednesday, November 13th at the Downtown Library at 6 p.m. We're very lucky this month as well. We're going to host the upcoming Wishkanati Poetry Slam on that third Thursday of the month, and that'll start about 6:30, just a little bit later than they usually start. And we also have our usual third Thursday family nights as well. That happens out in the Valley Library. This is National Caregivers Month, so we're going to honor our caregivers that help take care of all the little ones, and we'll hear stories and enjoy a picnic. And, of course, our TEDx for this month in the Downtown Library on November 26th is on altruism, because this is the month of, you know, sort of
indeed,
being thankful.
Indeed
and
it is.
Feeling like, you know, you're thankful for friends like Shona and Olga and
Public Radio. Hey, great segue there, Beth. I love it. Well, Beth and Olga, thank you so much. Please check out all the amazing events that the library puts in. You can check that out on juno.org/library.
Or just Google us at Juno Public Library. You'll find us.
You'll find them. That's right. And here's a little book of love.
All right.
I wonder who wrote the book of love. Romance in chapter 4, you break up, but you give it just one more chance. Oh, I wonder who wrote the book of love.
Baby, 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 I love you, yes I do. Well, it says so in this book of love, ours is the one that's true.
Oh, I wonder who wrote the book of love. The meaning of romance. In chapter 4 you break up, but you give it just one more chance.
Oh, I wonder who
wrote the book of love.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strausser. It's Thursday, November 7th, and I'm just going to say this again, but it is the membership drive right now. So if you're not a member here yet at K2OO and you appreciate Juno Afternoon as much as I do, please give us a call here at 586-3636, and people are standing by to actually take your contribution. In the studio with me right now, I have Joy Lyon and Elsa Demexa. Thank you so much for joining me, and you're here to talk to us about the Imagination Nation Library. And this is really exciting, and I'm so lucky I get to talk about books today. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, this is library day here at the studio.
Totally.
So the Dolly Parton Imagination Library is having its grand celebration tomorrow night from 4:30 to 5:30 at the Jack. And it's going to be an exciting event to really celebrate the 100,000th book delivered in Southeast Alaska because of the program, which has been operating the last 7 years in Southeast.
Great. So speaking of the program, can you tell me, you know, what is this program for people that don't know? How did it get here?
The Dolly Parton Imagination Library is an early literacy program. It came to Juneau through Communities and Schools. Communities and Schools is an organization that started in 2005 to address the serious dropout problem we have in Juneau. And we thought we should have a more permanent solution for the dropout issue. So Joy Lyon and I partnered and started the Imagination Library. It's a partnership with Dolly Parton, actually. And Dolly Parton says she can, any community that wants to partner with her organization can do that. And she subsidizes the program.
So it's essentially a foundation that is built to increase literacy.
Absolutely.
Right, because Dolly Parton is known for her music and acting, but really what she's going to be remembered and loved for forever is her this program where a child gets a book in the mail every month from the day they're born until they turn 5 years old. So by the time they turn five and they come into kindergarten, they have 60 books in their home library. They are excited about learning. They've had a parent read to them, you know, every night or every day. And they have this broad vocabulary and interest and curiosity. And it's just the best investment you can make in education and in strengthening families, because it's like that family that reads together is, you know, going to laugh together and be together.
And the years from birth through five are the most critical years in the child's development and learning. So by providing these books and, you know, helping kids learn to read, we are helping children get to school ready for, you know, learning, basically. So
the event is really a kickoff of our fundraising, because though Dolly Parton, you know, does sponsor it and provides all the background and shipping and handling and books, we need to have local sponsors that sponsor $30 a year to sponsor a child, or $150 to sponsor a child for the whole 5 years. And that money goes directly to the books, because we have volunteers. AYC houses the program, but it's really run by volunteers and by the community sponsors that step up and sponsor us. So tomorrow night we're going to have the mayor, who's going to read a proclamation. There's going to be Dolly Parton Imagination Library Week next week. And a couple of graduates from the program are going to be reading with him that are 6 and 8 years old, Christy Germain and her children. And then Barbara Brown's coming down from Best Beginnings, which is kind of helps to coordinate the program statewide. And then, most exciting, First Lady Sandy Parnell will present the 100,000th book to the very newest baby born.
So we've been here for 7 years, and we're reaching 60% of the children in Juneau, 0 to 5. And our goal, of course, is to reach about 90% to 100%. There is a community in Alaska that reaches 100% Nome. We want to be like that.
Oh, wow.
We want to reach 100% of Juneau children.
So people can come tomorrow and, you know, be part of that celebration and, you know, think sponsoring a child. And also, if you can't make the event, you can sponsor a child by going to the AEYC website at aeyc-sea.org, and or through your workplace campaign, because United Way is doing their campaign this month, and there's a way to designate it as part of your campaign contributions through United Way in your workplace. So that's another way to give.
And you can also call 789-1235, AEYC's number.
Great. So you said the 100,000th book. What is that? So given here in Juneau, then?
Southeast.
Southeast total. Southeast. Okay.
Right.
That's
so
amazing.
There's 2,000 children enrolled. So every month, 2,000 books, you know, are delivered here in Southeast. And, you know, a good percentage of them are here in Juneau, but also it covers Gustavus and Tenneke, Haines, Skagway, Wrangell, Petersburg, you know, the whole, almost every community in Southeast Alaska. And they're having their own, you know, celebrations and sponsor recruitment there. And so we're really, you know, really fundraising for Juneau here.
For Juneau specifically.
You know, for baby showers, baby gifts, it would be great to give a child a gift for a year instead of giving them a onesie that costs, you know, a lot of money. This is $30 to sponsor one child for a whole year, or $150 for 0 to 5. So it's a wonderful gift. I do that all the time now. That's the only thing I give.
Great. So the kickoff again is?
4:30 to 5:30 tomorrow, that's Friday, at the Jack.
Great.
And we have to be out of there by 5:30, so please come on time.
And there's cookies and cider, too.
Oh, there's
lots of cookies.
There's a big motivator there for Juneau audiences. Well, that's great. What an amazing program. Thank you, Elsa and Joy, for coming on to talk to us about this great program. I hope you can make it there. And actually, we are going to hear a audio postcard by Scott Burton here at the studio. And it's actually Sandy Parnell, and she's reading books. And this was an event at the library.
Yes, thank you. Please come tomorrow. It's only an hour.
Great. Thank you so much. Here's Sandy Parnell with the audio postcard from Scott Burton.
Back through the years, I go wandering once again, back to the seasons of my youth.
What do Dolly Parton, the Juneau Public Library, and Alaska's First Lady Sandy Parnell have in common? Children's books, and lots of them. On Wednesday morning, Library Programs Coordinator Beth Weigel and Mrs. Parnell read to an attentive group of kids at the downtown library.
How many of you have read Otis before?
Otis, right there,
Otis,
right there.
Where's Otis? Oh, there's Otis.
Wow, we actually scratched him.
Oh, my God.
Parnell says a love for books can begin at readings like these.
I remember very clearly the days in the 90s when our little girls were here in Juneau, and I had a baby and a toddler, and library time was some of the highlights of the week. So we would go to Douglas, we would come here and just enjoy very much reading time. And, our kids really developed a love of reading, and I think it's because, you know, you start early. Literacy really starts from the time children are babies. And so I just still carry that love of reading and really desire to come alongside parents and caregivers and help in any way I can to encourage that.
But after working hard all day, Otis was ready to unwind and play.
And how is legendary country singer Dolly Parton involved? Youth Services librarian M.J. Grandy says that Dolly Parton wants kids to have what she did not.
Well, Dolly Parton, a story goes, the only book she had growing up was the Bible, and that was good, but she wants kids to have more resources. So she funds the Imagination Library, and a community signs up and agrees to pay $30 a year for a child to participate. And Dolly pays everything else, close to about $300 over the course of a year. Each child from birth to age 5 gets a book mailed to them to their home once a month for that full 5-year period.
Grandy shares Parton's passion for childhood literacy. In coordination with the Southeast branch of AEYC, or the Association for the Education of Young Children, Grandy has organized community and family events like Sandy Parnell's reading today.
For her mother, but when the sleepy sound of the soft put, puff, puttity chuff came from the next stall, the scared little calf stopped.
According to Parnell, Alaskans have thoroughly embraced the program.
I think we are second in the nation only to Tennessee, Dolly Parton's home state, for signups for Imagination Library. Currently, I believe 40% of Alaskan children are signed up in this program. So I encourage every parent to sign their child up because it really instills that love of reading from a, you know, baby on up.
And Grandy says it's working.
The school district has actually seen an increase in the literacy level in their incoming 5-year-olds by having this program here, that kids have a common foundation of literacy. They've been sharing these same books. And the studies of do you read with your child at home, those numbers are going up. We're really pleased.
And Parnell? She's into it, too.
It's pure joy. You get kids and books together, and, you know, it's always wonderful.
The farmer surprised everyone with a brand new yellow tractor. Time to move out, Otis, the farmer said. He took Otis.
To get your child involved, visit your local library or join the Imagination Library's community celebration next Friday, November 8th at the Jack. They'll present the 100,000th book in Southeast. For more information and some cute images from the reading, please go to ktoo.org.
Now I know we had no money, but I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors, my mama made for me.
For KTOO, I'm Scott Burton.
Just for me.
And thanks to Scott Burton for that audio postcard about the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. It's just a very cool thing, and that kickoff happening tomorrow. And I just want to remind you that it is the membership drive here at KTOO. You can give us a call here at 586-3636, or you can be a member online at ktoo.org. And also one of the many features that we bring you here every day, Monday through Friday, it's Writer's Almanac, one of my favorites. Here it is, and we'll be back more with more Juno Afternoon.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 7th of November, 2013. It was on this day, 1492, a meteor fell from the sky near the town of Enschesheim in Alsace, France. One of the oldest meteorites recorded. The only one who saw it was a boy who heard a sound like an explosion, watched a huge piece of rock fall out of the sky, bury itself in a wheat field. It weighed almost 300 pounds. It was on this day, 1917, the Bolsheviks overthrew the Russian government and formed a new one that would become the USSR, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Just 4 years before, Tsar Nicholas II had celebrated the anniversary of his family, the Romanovs, ruling Russia. 300 years they'd been in power. He ruled over 150 million people in an empire that covered one-sixth of the landmass of the planet Earth. But his empire was struggling. In 1905, workers had gone on mass strikes. They'd forced the Tsar to agree to a series of reforms, most of which he didn't actually enact. Then World War I came along, which was devastating for Russia. The government printed money to finance the war, inflation was sky high, the economy was in shambles, and Russian casualties were the highest of any nation ever in any war. In March of 1917, riots broke out over the scarcity of food, and Tsar Nicholas was forced to abdicate. In his place, a weak provisional government took over. They made few changes. People were still unhappy. And meanwhile, the revolutionary leader, Vladimir Lenin, returned to Russia after a decade in exile. He'd been in Switzerland, and he had to cross Germany to return to Russia. Lenin opposed Russia's involvement in World War I, so the German authorities let him come through Germany in the hopes that he would undermine the Russian war effort. He rallied people with the slogan Peace, Land, and Bread, and the Bolshevik Party grew in just a few months from 24,000 members to 200,000. Lenin had to convince the leaders of the Bolshevik Party that the time was ripe for an armed uprising, and eventually they agreed to proceed. And on this day, 1917, the Bolsheviks took over the post offices, train stations, government buildings, the state bank, without a single shot being fired. The next morning they took over the Tsar's home, the Winter Palace, which the revolutionaries found basically deserted. They wandered around for a while and finally discovered a few members of the provisional government hiding out in the breakfast room. The revolutionaries arrested the members of the government, but since the revolutionaries couldn't read or write, they had the prisoners write out their own arrest papers. The whole uprising was so bloodless and undramatic that Soviet propaganda later changed many of the facts to make it look more like a heroic battle. The Bolshevik uprising took place on November 7th, 1917, but because the Russians were still using the old Julian calendar, they celebrated as October the 25th. It was called the October Revolution. Here's a poem for today by David Lehman, entitled Radio. I left it on when I left the house for the pleasure of coming back 10 hours later to the greatness of Teddy Wilson after you've gone on the piano in the corner of the bedroom as I enter in the dark. David Lehman's poem Radio, from his new and selected poems published by Scribner Poetry and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Joy Biles with assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser. It's Thursday, November 7th. Thank you so much for tuning in. It is our membership drive here at KTOO. I encourage you to give us a call at 586-3636 and make your contribution today. In the studio with me right now, I have Elfrida Nord from the Sons of Norway. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Great. So could you tell us about, you have a big, big, and it's called a bazaar, yes?
It's called a bazaar,
great.
Yes. And it's on Saturday. From 10 to 4 at the Yacht Club.
Okay.
And we have lots of interesting vendors who will be there selling all sorts of stuff. And we will have good food and excellent music.
Oh, great. So what are some of the great items vendor-wise? Yeah.
Well, we have shells, and we have greeting cards, and we have chef aprons and applique Levi jackets, and we have hand-painted, hand-spun yarn and silk scarves. We have books. We have music. We have jewelry, photography, hats, fused glass, hand-blown glass from Skagway, any number of things.
So this is a great way to get started on your holiday shopping here.
Yes, it is.
This Saturday. So you said, these Sons of Norway, you all do some fabulous breakfasts. I've been to a few pretty good breakfasts. What kind of great food will you be having there this weekend?
Well, I know for sure we are going to have waffles served Norwegian style. Not American style.
What does that mean?
It means that they're served cold with, usually with whipped cream and strawberries.
Perfect.
And there will be all sorts of other things, too. But that's one I know for sure that there will be. We try to keep things culturally relevant, if at all possible. So no one has called me to tell me exactly what they're bringing, but should be interesting and good. And we will have soup called Witch's Brew. Because it's over lunch, and so you can come and have lunch.
Is that a Norwegian specific soup?
No, it's not. It's not Norwegian specific.
Okay.
I am making personally something called Dream Cake, which is known as the world's best cake.
Ooh, that's a challenge right there. I love it. I love a good challenge. And so you actually mentioned that Sons of Norway is putting out a cookbook. Can you talk a little bit about that?
That's right. We have just published our first ever Svalbard cookbook, and it is full of lots of recipes submitted by both old and new members. When I say old, it's because we started, I wasn't part of it, but the cookbook project was started by Dorothy Osborne back in 1988, and we have finally have a finished product.
Perfect. So what are some of the highlights in that recipe book?
Well, we have, there's lefse, and there's lutefisk, and there's meatballs, and lots of pastries.
You just said the magic word right there. Yeah, well, you have lefse in there, and you've got me hooked. That's fabulous. And so this bazaar on Saturday, do all the proceeds benefit the artists, or does it all go back to Sons of Norway? Because I know you do all do some scholarships and things like that.
We charge, I believe it's $25 for a booth, and all the proceeds go to the vendors themselves.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, super. So that's this Saturday, and could you give us the time and the place one more time?
It's at the Yacht Club, and it's from 10 till 4.
Excellent.
And for the vendors, they can come at 8 to get set up.
Perfect. And is there a number that somebody can call to get more information?
Well, you can call Barb Wilmot at 790-3038, or me, Elfrida Nord, at 789-6974.
Great. Elfrida, thank you so much. It's just what a wonderful time there at the Yacht Club. It's going to be a good time. You can catch up on your holiday shopping.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. And here's a little Norwegian, actually a current Norwegian singer. And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser, and in the studio with me, I'm so lucky today. I really am the luckiest
lady. It's your lucky day.
It is. It's Andy Klein, folks.
How's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm doing great now that I'm here with you, Shona.
Oh,
so good to see you.
You too.
Shona Strasser, as I live and breathe, right there in front of me.
So Andy's going to hang out with us for the rest of the show, talk to us with Nancy DeJourney. But before we do that, we want to talk about Alaskan Whiteout. What exactly is that?
It's a party. We're going to have a great party happening tomorrow night, Friday, at the Hangar Ballroom. It's going to start at about 9 o'clock, and it's just wear white, which just could mean a T-shirt, or it could mean really go for it, wear white. It's
dressed
an
all-white
like out party. We've got all-white decorations happening. We're going to, you know, it's like the P. Diddy party, basically. It's the P. Diddy. But P. Diddy actually might be there. I'm not sure. I've sent him an invitation. We'll see. If he's in town, I'll bet he shows up.
It's P. Diddy.
It could happen.
He hangs out in Juneau.
But we're going to be serving up, of course, delicious Alaskan brewing products. We've got some winter white and free ride on tap. It's going to be happening at the Hangar Ballroom. And then there's going to be these great prize giveaways from Alaska Powder Descents, also from Eagle Crest. So there'll be some ski pass kind of cool stuff going on.
A little ski pass
and
action.
And also from Alaskan Brewing, we have these really cool snowboards, winter whiteout snowboards that we're going to be giving away as well. So you could actually gear up with snowboards, have the ski pass, maybe get a helicopter ride from Alaska Powder Descents, win it all right there at the Alaskan Whiteout Party, and it's all a benefit going to SAIL.
Oh, it
so,
is?
So, yeah, so we do, you know,
oh,
our
there you go.
We choose a nonprofit every year that we support, and SAIL is a nonprofit we're supporting right now. It's Southeast Alaska Independent Living, for folks who don't know, and they help people with disabilities and all kinds of things like that get around and help improve people's lives. So they're a really cool organization. And so that's where all the proceeds are going to SAIL. But it's going to be a really exciting, fun time. DJ White Chocolate is going to be there, of course, for the whiteout.
For the white, yeah.
And then MC Papa Bear. Maybe it's me.
MC Papa Bear?
Maybe. I don't know.
Don't you need to call your, like, so MC, what's the white bear called again?
Polar.
Polar.
Well, there is a polar bear component to Papa Bear.
There's a full-on polar bear thing happening.
Full-on, he says. Yes.
You know when Andy says full-on, really means that.
And then, you know, Balloons by Night Moods is putting together an incredible, very cool interior. And then the Juno Arts and Humanities Council is allowing us to borrow black lights.
Don't you need white lights?
Black. So it's going to be, you know, it's slightly ravey. No. I'm not saying it's slightly got that little bit of that thing going on.
Okay.
But for adults. I know. Yeah. Let's not even get into it. Anyway,
I love that.
Fun, full on, big, happening, cool party happening tomorrow night, Hangar Ballroom.
And you said $3 beers.
$3 Alaskan draft beer.
That's the best deal
in
town.
That's a pretty good deal. So, you know, you throw your $5 at the door, that all goes to sale. And the beer money actually all goes to sale as well.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it's all donated beer from Alaskan Brewing, so it's all about that.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I love it.
We're excited. And Nancy's here.
Nancy DeCherney is here. Arts up.
I didn't come in my polar bear outfit.
No. Wait for tomorrow. Wait.
You know,
Do you have one? Do you have one? If you have one, I want to know about it.
Yeah, Andy needs one. Speaking of white, though, because it's white outward, it's a pray for snow event.
That's a pray for snow. And, you know, it's just starting to snow up at Eagle Crest. The first few actual snow flurries and actual accumulations happening at Eagle Crest right now. So that's
right
good.
Now,
it's all good
we
news.
Speak. And it is round two of Powder Magazine Ski Town Throwdown. So you need to vote today.
Yes.
Go to Facebook.
And they're ahead. They were ahead by just a few.
Yeah.
Surged ahead. Alaskan Brewing is behind it 100% too. We're pushing stuff out on our Facebook page. And that's right. Started off in the morning a little slow. I think it was just the time difference.
I think so, too.
You know, I think that's it.
And we're awake now.
And then we surged forward. That's right.
But
now we're
like,
awake.
Get in there and do it. You can. Facebook is where you go.
If you just go to Alaskan Brewing's website, or the first thing on there is posted on there. But if you go to Powder Magazine, that's the magazine that you go to on Facebook. Just search Powder Magazine, and you'll see the Ski Town Throwdown.
Yeah, let's make it happen. Let's make it happen, folks, for some Eagle Crest.
It's got to happen.
It is. Represent.
Yes.
Local.
Okay.
Art's up. Nancy, hi.
There's nothing going on. Nothing going on.
Oh, yeah, well, just... that's Art's up. Where's the theme music?
I've got the white album here.
Okay. Oh, see, we got so much stuff happening. You know, there's no student attendance for a while, and this caused some randomness to happen. But we got some plays to see this week. Ladies of the Camellias, Outright Prolonged Laughter, funny plays. You can see that tonight, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. Also have Treasure Island, great thing for the kids. And so all of these are great things for the kids.
Can I put in a quick brewery plug for Treasure Island?
Please.
On the 22nd, the brewery is doing a beer tasting at Treasure Island at Perseverance Theater. It's going to be super fun.
It is going to be
so
super
when
fun.
So go this weekend, but when you go for your second time, go to the beer tasting.
All right,
really
two
fun,
of my
22nd.
Favorite things just came together. Beer
pirates
and theater.
And pirates. Three.
Three.
For me, four. Lusty wenches as well. So there's all these things. It's a big...
Oh, my.
All coming together. Well, that's Treasure Island. Come on. They're in there.
Nancy, I hope we get at least one arts event out. I don't know if
we
will.
I'll stop there.
I love it.
And we got the other thing out, too. Okay, quickly. Sneak one in here. It's the first Thursday's Reviewer Circle Book Club discussion at the Downtown Library at 7 o'clock. Whew. Okay, let's see. There's quite a few things that you should just go to the website. Gold Town's got some great ski documentaries.
They have a whole month-long series.
November. Yeah. Chris Miller is helping put it on. Again, Alaskan Brewing contributing the beer for this, and all the proceeds of that go towards more Snowvember events. So there you go.
Alaskan Brewing loves snow.
I tell you.
And you were just already talking about the Dolly Parton Imagination thing. So
we did.
That the Student Symphony.
Oh.
Romantic Russian. That is at 7 p.m. at the Jack. It's a pay-as-you-can at the door. Evening at Egan. You know, there's been this one book, one campus thing. People are reading the At the Mouth of the River of Bees, and that the Evening at Egan lecture at 7 p.m. Friday is that. And then she's going to actually be offering a workshop on writing.
Yeah, we talked to Kish Johnson. She's really cool, really super
and
cool.
Awesome. I was reading reviews of the book. They're likening her to Ursula Le Guin. So if you like that kind of book, that's where you should go. Alrighty then.
Is that like Ursula Andress at all? No? That's an old reference.
Like Ursula.
She was a big deal when before I was born.
But there you have it. Speaking of wenches and things.
Wasn't Ursula also the bad octopus lady in Little Mermaid?
That, but
yeah.
She was, Ursula.
All right. I like how I'm taking this literary reference and just dragged it through my world.
Any Ursula that we've got.
Yeah, Ursula, okay.
Yeah, so she
Dr. No.
Dr. No.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, back to where were we? Okay, wait a minute. I want to say that Treasure Island opens Friday night.
Tomorrow night.
And there were only 9 tickets left.
As of about an hour
15
ago.
Seconds ago.
Oh, did you check?
Yeah, we just checked before I came over here. So.
Wow, so you could still get tickets the opening night? That's exciting.
Only 9 of them.
Wow, all right, get out there
and
do it.
So I see that you've got your Wallatini thing out and you're buying them right now.
Yes.
So watch out. Okay, there's a second Saturday. It's holiday bazaar time, so we've got the second Saturday Farmers Crafters Market at the Airport Shopping Mall at 10. Sons of Norway having a holiday bazaar at the Yacht Club at 10. Let's see. There's a really interesting video conference at 11 o'clock, Zim Kids Orphan Trust. This you get to talk to and with a person who's founded the it's very interesting.
Yeah, Beth Weigel was on here earlier today. She was
talking
telling us
that?
A lot about it. Yeah,
yeah,
it sounds really cool.
Part of the OWL program at the library. So you get to find out what's going on with kids your age or whatever.
Online with libraries.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's very cool.
All right.
So that's at 11 o'clock, free, of course, downtown library. And there's the fiction writing workshop at the Douglas Library at 1. And then there's the Snowvember Powder to People, a real ski experience at 2 and at 9. And speaking of all this snow stuff, there's this Southeast Alaska Snow Avalanche Workshop happening over at the Jack. Tons of things going on. It's a full page, so we can't look at it, but go to their Facebook page. You'll be winning prizes. There's people talking about how to survive avalanches, the Snow Nerd's Guide to Stability Evaluation. There's a whole bunch of stuff. So if you're going to be out in the snow, you should go. That's at the Jack, and it's at 5 to 9 or something like that. Blues Dancing 101, Hangar Ballroom. And your second.
There's blues dancing. There's specific dancing
you know,
to do with blues.
Yes, I had this question to a friend a few days ago. What does that mean?
Wow.
Well, you should go. And then there's a blues fusion dance later. So you learn the blues dance stuff at early 5 o'clock, and then you go. And it says no partner needed, and all experience levels welcome.
I've seen that kind of no partner needed blues dancing. Right? Especially like a white guy.
You're that guy. Bobby, you're totally that guy.
Yeah, that's me. I know that. Yeah.
Andy fused some new stuff in there, which I
should have a little
already,
bit and just
kind
of do that. It's just booze dancing.
That's right. So there's that. There's a few things to do this weekend in the evening. Tom Loker's on live at the Zephyr at 9 o'clock.
I want to just say Tom Loker and Kari Gruven. Last week at the little, we had a fun exclusive little event for VIP type folks with the who give significant amounts of money to the Jack.
Yes.
And we did a porter and porter, which was smoked porter with coal porter. And but Tom and Kari were so wonderful.
Smoking.
It was really so great to hear her singing. And so Tom Loker, go see him when you can. He's playing. Yeah.
At 9 o'clock at the Zephyr. It seems late to me, but anyway.
Well, so, it's not late for
not late for people who go to other
that
things.
Seems late to me.
Well, it seems late to go out to dinner at Zephyr.
Yeah. Okay.
It is late, Andy Klein. Okay, so Sunday, I'm going to get through this.
Please do. I dare you.
Jury's out. I've got bets on it.
Sunday at 6 p.m., Chapel by the Lake is having movie night, Girls Rising. They have free popcorn.
All right.
All righty, go there. I'm there for the popcorn. Veterans Day, Monday, and coincidentally, the Haynes Bald Eagle Festival starts.
Oh.
It starts this Monday.
Yeah, with Veterans Day, and since the kids are out, you know, you could think about it. I mean, I think it's parent-teacher conferences, so don't skip those, but you could buzz up to Haynes and see the Bald Eagle stuff. There's a Moonwalk Day Bounce House at the Diamond Field Park from 10 a.m. to 3. Bouncy houses are fun.
To all ages?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a limit?
It says doesn't have an upper.
All right.
Here,
bouncy house. Love them.
Let's see. On Tuesday at noon, the Sealaska Heritage Institute is starting their lecture series that they do at noon. And speaking of which, we forgot to mention Klan Conference, which is happening.
It's happening right now.
Oh, okay. And I think it's tomorrow, too. I'm not sure about
it
that.
It is, yes.
So lots of things happening over at Centennial Hall. The Sealaska lecture on Tuesday at noon is Reclaiming Traditional Spirituality. This is at the fourth floor boardroom, and that's free. Bring your little bag lunch and go to that. There's mud rooms at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. Real people, real stories, and the theme is scars.
Ooh. Oh, now mud rooms. That's good. But mud rooms is so cool. Isn't the mud rooms like the coolest thing? It's just such a cool local event, just supported locally and all this creative talent.
You hear these just crazy stories coming out of people you know, and you're like, what?
And they just run the gamut,
really?
Too. They can be just very simple tellings, and then there's people who are very, you know, involved. And then these great stories come out of people that you'd never expect to have these amazing
exactly.
stories, too. And it's really a wonderful thing.
I think everybody gets 7 minutes. Is that the deal?
Yeah,
and
seven.
It's $7, and they give their money to a charity of some sort.
Seven charities.
I feel like Alaskans. You totally made that up. I feel like Alaskans probably have a lot in the scar category.
Yeah.
Really?
Sure.
Both physical and not literal.
Yeah, we're all running from something.
Speaking of,
now let's
next,
not bring up our scars right now, okay?
I've got a story to tell you. Do we have 7 minutes?
No, you don't.
And at the rec center, if you don't want to talk scars, it's knitting night, okay? You can get scarred from that.
Yeah.
And there's a fall salsa workshop happening with Alejandro, teaching redefining our basics. That's it, upstairs at the Juno Urgent Care. It's for groups with seven or more. There are seven slots left.
Can't be too careful with salsa.
Might
as well have it
say.
At urgent care.
Well, I
mean,
well. Be prepared.
Right, yeah.
Or speaking of scars, I don't know. Anyway, let's see. What else do we want to get to? The Edible Lies, a sociological look at plastic chemicals and food. This is at Downtown Library. It's also drawing night at the Alaska Robotics. This is Wednesday at 6 p.m.
I recommend that, by the way. I've done that. Really fun.
You've done the drawing?
I've done the drawing. I've been a model at the drawing,
yes,
even.
I remember that.
But
that
it's all types of abilities and stuff, and Pat Race helps run that and goes around, and he'll give pointers and stuff if you want it. And if you don't, if you just want to be left alone, that's fine, too. But a really fun, casual atmosphere to just practice drawing.
You surprise me, Andy, all the time.
I know,
I'm full of surprises.
And then there's even more drawing on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Wildlife Wednesdays, drawing from nature, wild things through a sketcher's eye. Kathy Hawker, who we all know is a wonderful teacher and illustrator, just came out with a book, so you can work with her a little bit. Dragged Around the World Culture Shock Bingo at the Rendezvous. Wednesday at 7:30. There's a lot of scarring.
I think it's
things.
Drag bingo.
Yeah, drag
okay.
bingo.
Drag.
All right.
Bingo.
I get it.
I walked
right.
by the Rendezvous and saw that the other week.
And, oh, okay.
I looked on the stage and there was interesting things happening, and someone said, it's bingo. And
okay.
I was like, there's more to it than that.
There's more to it than that.
Also on Wednesday, it's the Friends of the City Museum annual public meeting and presentation on natural history books. Richard Karstensen will be there. It's at the Hangar Ballroom.
It's always awesome to hear Richard
speak.
Yeah,
so we kind of made it all the way through the week without too much.
And you had no faith.
I didn't.
You thought I'd interrupt too much. I think I interrupted just enough.
Yeah, okay. It was a perfect amount of interrupting.
Yes. But, well, you know, there's many things coming. I want to just throw out a thing about Shasha Higby. We are doing these. She's an amazing, indescribable performance wearable art artist. So if you think you want to learn how to make wearable art things, she's got two workshops. One of them is making your own headdress and discovering your archetypal image or something. And one of them is about incorporating lights into your costume. And that's next Monday, the 17th and 18th.
And then wearable art tickets, are they available for members right now?
Not yet.
Not yet available.
No, not yet.
Only
for secret people. We have the people who are season ticket holders. If you are a wearable art artist and you are registered, you can come in and buy your tickets. And if you are a donor at a $500 level.
So it encourages you to become a season ticket holder for the Juno Arts and Humanities Council.
Hey, speaking of donations, I have to say, in this last minute that we are on the air with Juno Afternoon on this fine Thursday,
yes.
it is the fall membership drive.
Oh.
Right. Yes. Is there a number to call?
There is. There is a number to call.
It's 586-3636. I know that by heart. You can also go online at ktoo.org.
That's right. And if you appreciate, you know, every week, Andy has done it for a long time, and then I am lucky enough to take over for Mr. Andy. But that we get to talk to Nancy DeCherney, and we get to hear about every single arts event that happens in a week.
That we can manage.
That we can fit in without interrupting
her.
And
there's a lot in this small town. It's just like there's a lot of public radio in this small town. It's amazing how blessed we are to live in this little place in Alaska and have all these great cultural opportunities, of course, natural opportunities out, a lot of outdoor activity. That's why a lot of us live here. And then this great public radio presence here. It's just so awesome to be a part of it and to have been able to listen to it for all the years I've lived in Juneau.
That's right. And if you love it as much as we do, please consider making a contribution today at 586-3636 or online at ktoo.org.
Is this a big deal for food manufacturers? Yes, it's a very big deal.
The big deal? The FDA proposes banning...